Reč.
So, yesterday we discussed about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the difference between demigod worship and Krishna worship. And I think yesterday someone had asked me a question about Kalki in the talk and I did not address it. So someone wanted to know more about Kalki. Kalki Avatar. Kalki Avatar is an avatar who is yet to come. The prediction in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that Kalki Avatar will come at the end of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga happens to be 4,32,000 years, out of which only 5,000 years have passed. Which means 4,27,000 years from now, Kalki Avatar will come. And the description of Kalki is also given in the Bhagavatam. His father's name will be Vishnushaya. And he will be born in a village called Shambhal, which will be in Bihar, which is in current Bihar. Huh? Sambalpur is the same. Shambhal or Sambalpur, exactly. The same place. So that's a little bit about Kalki, since someone wanted to know. Anyways, the session today is, who am I? Life after death, a fact or fiction? You know that people in this world sometimes face a problem called as identity crisis. An identity crisis is a psychological problem where people are not able to ascertain and understand what their identity is. Now, if you happen to ask someone on the street about who he is or who she is, what are the possible replies that you would get? You ask someone about his or her identity, what are the possible replies that you could anticipate? Name. The person will tell his name, his or her name. Okay. His or her profession. Age. Son of so and so. Relationships. Son, father, mother, husband, and relationships. About the place where he lives. Qualification. Profession. Yeah. About his caste. Yeah. Anything else? Description about his family, relationships. Yeah. As soon as we ask someone, who are you? What are the possible replies? I am Mr. Rajesh Talwar. Name. Who are you? I am an engineer. Profession. Who are you? I am an Indian. Nationality. Who are you? I am a man. Sex. Who are you? I am a father of such and such. Relationships. Who are you? I am a Hindu, Muslim, Christian. Caste or creed. As soon as we talk about identity and ask people about their identity, these are a few categories in which people would give us their replies, saying that this is what they are. Can name be changed? Yes, it can be. You know, when people get sometimes converted from Hinduism to Christianity, I know many people, someone's name is, you know, Mary Pawar or Jonathan Kambale. Quite funny. You see, these are the converted names. Which means name can be changed. Can the sex be changed? Yes, a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. Can one's nationality be changed? Yes, an Indian can get American citizenship, an American can get Indian citizenship and so on and so forth. Can one's caste be changed? Yes, one can become a Muslim from a Hindu or become a Christian from a Muslim. Or become a Hindu from a Christian. Caste can be changed. Can one's relationships be changed? Yes. A husband can marry another wife or a wife can marry another husband or the child can reject you are not my father and accept someone else as his adopted father or whatever. Relationships can change. Is it not? All of these things which we refer to as our identity can change. But do we change? My name is now Gaur Gopal Das, and if tomorrow my name becomes Madan Gopal Das,
Would I be a different person?
No. I am an Indian.
Right.
And tomorrow, somehow or the other, due to some reason, I settle in America and I get an American citizenship. Would I be a different person?
No, I wouldn't.
Right. Somehow or the other, God forbid it doesn't happen, I'm a man and I decide to become a woman.
Right.
Is it not? Just because I have become a woman, am I a different person?
No.
Sorry to say, no. I'm not a different person. I may have different ideas now, different imaginary identifications, but I'm not a different. Thinking pattern has changed. That doesn't mean I have changed. Personality has changed. That doesn't mean I have changed. The person is still the same.
Right.
The person hasn't changed. I am now a Vaishnava, practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and I tomorrow decide to turn to be a Christian. So I go to the church and chant 10 Hail Marys. Right? Does that make me a different person? All of these identifications can change, and yet the person does not change. Right? Which means, this is not what we are. If this is what we are, then why is it subject to change at times? We, the person, never feel that we have changed. Do we? We don't. Just because we have changed our residence, now I'm a new man or a new woman. Or my name has changed, I'm a new person.
No.
We experience that we are the same person with simply a change of identity at times.
Right?
Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita very clearly and emphatically tells us who we actually are. The Bhagavad Gita tells us we are not this temporary body. We are the eternal spirit soul. The soul, which is also known as Atma in Sanskrit. Our identity is not this body. Our identity is the soul, right? And what does all of these things, all of these different identifications, what do they refer to?
To the body,
right? And since the body can be subjected to change, these identifications can also be subjected to change. You know, as soon as we talk of people, no, and we go and ask them how they are, or how are their family members at home, how do we ask them? How is every body at home? Have you ever asked, how is every soul at home? Can you see how deeply rooted this idea is that we consider ourselves to be the body? We say, how is everybody at home? Not, how is every soul?
Right.
One of our sannyasis in Mayapur, near West Bengal, Jaipataka Swami, is American born, but he has now got Indian citizenship. So he lives in India at times. Now he gave a consignment of ISKCON books to be printed in a certain printing press. When he arrived in the printing press to pick up the books, he also saw that there was a huge stack of question papers in Bengali. Now he knows how to read Bengali. So he read there was a question, Tomar Porichoy Ki? That means, what is your Porichoy? What is your identity? Who are you? So the principal had come to collect this bunch of question papers, or the teacher, whoever. So Jaipataka Swami asked this teacher or the principal, so what answer do you expect for this? Tomar Porichoy Ki? So he replied by saying, our answer expected is, Amar Porichoy Ami Bengali, Amar Porichoy Ami Bharatiyo, Amar Porichoy Ami Purush, Amar Porichoy Ami Engineer, all what we said. My identities, I am an Indian, I am a Hindu, I am a Bengali, and so on and so forth. So Jaipataka Swami said, what if someone says, Amar Porichoy Ami Atma? What if someone says, my identity is, I am the soul? What then? The teacher replied, then he gets 0 marks. If he replies any of these, he gets full marks. If he replies, he is the soul, he gets 0 marks. Right? Now, if someone goes and talks about himself to be someone what he is not, what do we call him? Impersonification. Hypocrite. Cheat. fraudulent. In simple language, I would call him crazy, you know. If a man starts walking around thinking he's a woman, what would you call him? Crazy. When you think yourself to be something that you are not, then automatically the title that comes upon us is crazy, mad, insane. Is it not? One time, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, he came to a mental asylum. Pagalon ka dawakhana. Right. When he came rushing in, one mad man came running towards Nehru. And he said to Nehru, "Who are you?" Nehru said, "I am the Prime Minister of India." The madman said, "When I came in, no, I also used to say the same thing. That I am the Prime Minister of India." So what is a madman? A madman means he who identifies himself with something that he is not. Is it not? So if we are not the body, we are the soul, and we are identifying ourselves with the body, then what are we? Crazy. We are mad. We are insane. Because we are thinking we are the body, but we are not. What are we? We are the eternal spirit, soul, or Atma. Right? Now immediately, a question will come into your minds. The other day you were talking of something called God, and you said there is a proof. We gave a proof for the existence of God. Now, if we say we are not the body, we are the soul, we are the Atma, what is the proof? Is there any proof based on which we can conclude that we are not the body, we are the soul or Atma? First is common sense. Common sense somehow is very uncommon these days. Right? If we just apply a little bit of our common sense, we'll come to this conclusion that we are not the body, we are the soul. How many of you have attended a funeral? I guess most of you. Right. When you go for a funeral, before the funeral you go to the house of the person who's dead. Right? And there are ladies or men weeping and crying. If a man is dead, then the wife is beating her chest and crying. And what does the wife generally say when she's crying? Chhod ke chala gaya. Mera pati mujhe chhod ke chala gaya. Marathi mein? Maza navra mala sodun gela. Right? English, my husband has passed away. Gujarati, what is it? Mane chodi ne chali gayo. In Malayalam, avana marichu poi. That's how they say. Anyone who speaks Kannada here? Avana tir konda. Anyone who speaks Telugu here? Ayana chenni poyaru. Anyone who speaks Russian here? Oshan ondal. Go to any part of the world. And you will hear this. He has passed away. वो मुझे छोड़ के चला गया. मैंने छोड़ी ने चली गई छू. I don't know. I'll have to learn. I only told you the languages which I've learnt in, you know. I'll probably have to learn the language Chinese and find out. But next time I'll definitely add that one. I'll take that as a good feedback and add Chinese also. The fact of the matter is, you will find the relative, the wife, the husband crying, saying he has left me. Let's take the example of a woman who has lost her husband, and she says, "Oh, my husband has left me, he has passed away, mera pati mujhe chhod kar chala gaya." So you go and ask her, "Pati chhod kar chala gaya, to ye samne leta hai, wo kya hai?" She says, "Oh, this is not my husband. This is the body of my husband. So where is your husband?" "Oh, my husband has passed away." My God! What a revelation at the end of life. Throughout my life, what was I thinking? This is my husband. And all of a sudden, at the end of life, I came to a conclusion. This is not my husband. So come on. Throughout your life, you were saying, "This is my husband, this is my husband." And now you say, "No, this is the body of my husband." Then who is your husband? the person who was living within the body, and that person has now passed away. Therefore, Shripad Shankaracharya says, Yavat Pavano Nivasati Dehe Tavat Prechati Kushalam Gehe Gatavati Vayo Deha Paye Bharyam Bibhyati Tasmin Kaye. Yavat Pavano Nivasati Dehe. Jab tak Pavan Atma Deh me Nivas Karta Hai. So long as the soul lives within the body. Tavat Prechati Kushalam Gehe. Till that time you go and ask him. Sab Kushal Mangal Hai? Kushalam Gehe. Ghar me sab Thik Thak Hai? How many of you go to a dead body and say, Bhai Sahab, aaj ka mausam achha hai na? Khana ho gaya aapka? Tabiyat theek hai na? You talk to a dead body? Ask a dead body about the well-being of the dead body? So long as the soul is present within the body, we go and inquire from the person. Avat prichhati, question, kushalam gehe, kushal mangal. Gatavati vayau deha paye. As soon as the soul leaves the body, Bharyam means a wife. Bibhyati tasmin kaye. The same wife is now afraid of that body. Yeah? Previously when the lady got married and the, you know, both of them were inside a room and all children are moving in and out, she was trying to drive everyone out of the room. Come on, get out. Why? Because she wanted to be alone with the husband. Why? The soul was present. As soon as the soul leaves the body, now, she can't stay alone. She says, please come inside. Previously, if anyone was there in the room, she would drive them out. She wanted some seclusion with the husband. And now, as soon as the soul leaves, she's afraid to sit with the same body. Drives all people, brings all people in. Mere saath baitho, dar lag raha hai. Raat bhar ya sab aane tak rukana hai. This body is here. I'm very much afraid. You know, when a woman sometimes cooks for the husband, no? She washes her hands, right, properly washes her hands and cooks for the husband. Sees that there is proper degree of sanitation, right? Why the soul is present in the body? As soon as the soul leaves the body and she touches the body of the husband, then she has to wash her hands now, right? Till the time the soul was present, she was holding the hand of her husband and she didn't wash her hands. As soon as the soul leaves, immediately she washes her hands. So what makes the difference between a live man and a dead man? The presence of the soul or the Atma. Right? So the fact of the matter is, if we just apply a little bit of common sense and see that they say he has passed away, it can clearly reveal to us that what is in front is the body and who has passed away is the person or the soul proper. And we find that happening in all traditions. We find that in the Hindu tradition the body is burnt, in the Muslim tradition the body is buried, and even in the Christian tradition the body is buried.
Right.
But who are we? Not the body, the eternal spirit, soul or Atma. Let's take a second proof for the existence of the soul. Can you come here? We are going to ask him a few questions and we are going to ask all of you a few questions. Let's see what our conclusion is going to be. Can you give me a watch? Watch. Give me a watch. What is this? Whose watch? He said this is a watch and he is saying this is his watch. My question to all of you is, is he the watch? No. Then who is he in relation to the watch? Owner of the watch. Perfect. Right. Now, what is this? Hand. Whose hand? He says it is his hand. Is he the hand? Who is he in relation to the hand? Owner of the hand. Good. Perfect logic. And what is this? Body. Whose body? He says it is his body. Is he the body? Then who is he in relation to the body? The owner of the body. Big hand for him. Thank you. Sorry to try you. This is called intuition. Simple intuition can help you understand that you are not the body, you are the owner of the body, the tenant living in the body. If you were the body, what would you say? I body aching too much today. I head reeling too much. I very tired, therefore I didn't come. Right. I legs no paining like anything. What do I say? My legs. If this is your leg, then who are you? You say this is my body, then who are you? Right. If this is your body, then you must be someone else apart from the body, whom the body belongs to. As soon as you refer to your body as my body, that immediately proves the fact that you are not the body. You are simply the owner of the body whom the body belongs to. That's called as intuitive understanding. Right? Go on. My hand, my head, my legs, my body. Right? And then who am I? The owner of the body, the eternal spirit soul. Right? Next. Third is, consciousness is a symptom of the presence of the soul within the body. Right? As I was giving this example yesterday, the same example we can take and consider. The sun rises early in the morning, and the mother wakes up the child saying, "Bete, late ho gaya, ud jao, ud jao." The child wakes up. And the son says, "Oh, mama, you said that the sun has risen, but where is the sun?" Does the child have to go out to find out whether the sun is in the sky or not? No. So how does he come to know? He comes to know by the sunlight. The sunlight has entered into the room, and just based on the sunlight, he knows there is a sun, whether or not he has seen it. Right? Just like sunshine is to sun, consciousness is to soul. The sun is situated in the sky and is spreading sunshine in the world. The soul is situated in the body and is spreading what in the body? Consciousness. So do we have to see the sun to believe that there is a sun? Simply seeing light, we know that there is a sun. Do we have to see the soul to believe that there is a soul? No. Simply the fact that we are conscious proves that there is a soul. Now, do you know what consciousness means? Consciousness means three things. Number one, thinking. Number two, feeling. Number three, willing, desiring. Right? All of you are seated here, and I hope you are thinking. At least I hope so. I'm sure you're thinking. I don't hope you're thinking. I'm sure you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. Whether you're thinking about what I'm saying or something else, but I'm sure you're all thinking. I'm sure you're all feeling also. Feeling hot or feeling cold. Feeling happy or feeling sad. Feeling inspired or feeling bored. Each of us feel. AC bahut jyada ho gaya. Thanda lag raha hai. I feel cold. Turn down the air conditioner. Right? So you can think. You can feel. And you can also will or make a desire. ये बहुत पका हुआ आदमी है रोज तीन तीन घंटा बोलता है कल से नहीं आएंगे. What did you do? You made a will, a desire, right? Just imagine if a dead body were sitting here in front of me, right? As I speak, the body responds back by saying,
बहुत अच्छा लेक्चर दे रहे हैं आप.
बढ़िया लेक्चर है. थिंकिंग वेरी वेल. एंड देन ही सेज, ही टेल्स टू व्हाट्स हर नेम, अमर, अमर द बॉडी हियर, डेड बॉडी, हाँ, पैट्स ऑन अमर्स बैक. एसी ज्यादा है ना. बहुत ज्यादा ठंडा है, थोड़ा कम करें. एंड देन आफ्टर द होल गीता कोर्स इज ओवर, आई एम सिटिंग हियर एंड द डेड बॉडी कम्स एंड सेज, कन्विंस कर दिया तुमने मेरे को, ब्रह्मचारी बनना है. कैन यू मेक अ विल? कैन अ डेड बॉडी थिंक? कैन अ डेड बॉडी फील? कैन अ डेड बॉडी विल? वन टाइम यू नो देर वॉज अ टैक्सी ड्राइवर, ही वॉज ड्राइविंग अ टैक्सी एंड द मैन वॉज सिटिंग बिहाइंड, सो ही वॉज ड्राइविंग एट हाई स्पीड, सो द मैन जस्ट यू नो patted him from behind, relax, cool, thoda aaram se. So this man got so confused because someone patted him from back, he literally went and banged his car into a tree. Somehow or the other, both survived. The passenger asked the driver, "Arey, I just patted you. Why were you so panicky?" He said, "Just today I have started driving taxis. Till yesterday, I was driving a funeral van." You see. Is it not? So if till yesterday I was driving a funeral van, which means even today I am conditioned to that. To koi pat karega piche se. Which means what will happen to me? Right. So I thought, in my dead body come back to life or what? Right. So dead body cannot think, cannot feel, cannot will. And each of you sitting here can think, can feel, and can will. Why? Because the dead body is not conscious and each of you are conscious. And why is the dead body not conscious? Because the dead body does not have a soul. Why are each of you conscious? Because each of you have a soul. So do you have to see the soul to believe that there is a soul? The very fact that you are thinking, feeling, willing means you are conscious. And the very fact that you are conscious means that there is a soul. Is it not? Can you go on? You know, there can be several machines. This is one of the machines. It has a photo detector. Photo detector is an electronic device which detects light and sends signals. So this photo detector machine is used to see red light. So you put it in front of sunrise or sunset where there is reddish light, what will it print? I see a red light. You put it in front of sunshine or sunset, sunrise, sunset. People go to Mahabaleshwar, Matheran to see same red sunshine and sunlight. Right? What do? You go and see in front of the beach, you're sitting and looking at the sunrise and say, I see red light. Do you say like that? Poets write poems. Lovers go through ranges of emotions as the sun is setting or the sun is rising. Right? And you put a rose flower in front of this machine, red in color. I see red light. You put red blood in front of it. I see red light. Anything that is red, and if it reflects light, the photo detector will send a signal and say, I see red light. Because it is a machine which has no consciousness. And therefore it cannot think, feel or will. Go on. As soon as a man sees a red rose, what does he say? I see red light. No. As soon as he sees red rose, he starts remembering something else. Once, you know, on a Valentine's Day, a boy decided, everyone is giving their favorite girlfriends a rose. I will do something different. I'll give her a lotus flower. Right. So he brought a fully blossomed lotus flower. Please, gave her the lotus flower. And she slapped him on his cheek, you know. The boy said, क्या किया मैंने, आई जस्ट गेव यू अ रोज लोटस फ्लावर, नो व्हाई डिड यू हिट मी, शी सेड टिट फॉर टैट. सेड कम ऑन, हाउ कैन यू से टिट फॉर टैट. टिट फॉर टैट मीन्स आई गेव यू सम फ्लावर, यू शुड हैव गिवन मी सम फ्लावर, बट आई एम गिविंग यू फ्लावर, लोटस फ्लावर, एंड यू आर गिविंग मी स्लैप ऑन माई फेस. हाउ आई डिड यू डू दैट. सो वॉट डिड यू से, वॉट डिड द लेडी से, शी सेड लुक, यू गेव मी भारतीय जनता पार्टी बीजेपी, आई गेव यू कांग्रेस. Is it not? You gave me BJP, I gave you Congress. So when a man sees a lotus flower red in color, what will he remember? I see red light. He will say, I see hand light. Right. One I got on my face. Why? Because he can think, he can feel, and he can will. So consciousness is the symptom of the presence of the soul within the body. But one doesn't really have to see the soul to believe that there is a soul in the body. Right? There was a doctor. His name was Dr. Michael Sabom. He was a professor at the Emory School, the Emory University in the United States. At the same time, he was also practicing. The hospital in which he was practicing, one day he found a case, a lady being brought to the hospital absolutely unconscious. This was the first time that this lady was being brought to the particular hospital. When she was admitted in, brought in the ambulance, taken to the wards and later to the surgery room, operation theater, OT, she was still unconscious. Dr. Sabom performed the surgery on this lady. Successfully she was operated. She was put into the wards. When Dr. Sabom came to see the lady, when she had come back to her consciousness, the lady started saying to reporting to Dr. Sabom some things which were quite confusing and bewildering to her. What did she say? She said, you know, in front of your hospital there is a huge oak tree. Just about an hour and a half back, I visited this tree. Huh? An hour and half back, she was unconscious, lying in the ward. From the time she was brought in, she was unconscious. And this is the first time she came back to consciousness and everyone had seen her to lie in the ward, in the OT and then in the ward. And what was she saying? I just saw this oak tree in front of your hospital. She said, how? How did you see? She said, I went to the terrace of the hospital. Right. And from the terrace, I saw the tree in front of the hospital. Now, for those of you who know, a hospital's terrace is always under lock and key. For the simple reason that if a patient feels frustrated, he might go to the terrace and jump down. So, a hospital's terrace is never open. And the key is only with the personnel there. So, Dr. Sabom went and asked the authorities for how long the terrace was not opened. It had been at least 5 to 6 months that the terrace had not been opened at all till this date. And this lady was saying that I visited that terrace. So Dr. Sabom decided to ask her further questions, probe her a little further. He asked her, what did you see on the terrace? She said, as soon as you open the door of the terrace, on the left hand side, you'll find a pair of torn Nike shoes. And on your right hand side, you shall find a water tank. And go straight, and right in front, you'll find an oak tree. Dr. Sabom probably never had taken note that there was an oak tree in front of the hospital. He opened the terrace, came to say, on the left hand side was a torn pair of Nike shoes. On the right hand side was a water tank. In front was an oak tree. This gave rise to a field of research called as out of body experiences, OBE, or near death experiences, NDE. Right. Go on. A typical near death experience involves a person who is going through major surgery, cardiovascular surgery or something like that, and
his ECG, his EEG, everything goes flat. And he also goes flat, obviously. Right. If everything is flat, then he is also flat. He's dead. Which means he's clinically dead. But then after a few minutes, the person again comes back to life. And you find the ECG and the EEG working again. And then the patient starts reporting some things which could not be anyway coherent with what he was in the hospital. Right. Dr. Michael Sabom has researched a minimum of 200 near-death experience cases. Right? Which means something is going out of the body and from outside the body seeing what's happening on the body. Right. And then once again coming in. Which means the person comes to life again. When this something goes outside the body, then clinically the person is declared dead. And after some time, the person comes back to life again and starts reporting something. One of our sannyasis in ISKCON, he has had a near-death experience. His name is His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. Sachinandan Maharaj has had a near-death experience. This is about 4 or 5 years back. He was being operated on the stomach, right, some operation. And after he came back to consciousness, he told the doctors, "Dear doctors, you know that operation theater is not a place to discuss about golf. What if while discussing about golf, you would have cut the wrong nerve?" And the doctors were taken aback by a surprise, because as they were operating His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, they were actually talking about golf. Now the patient is clinically dead, or is unconscious, or under anesthesia. How does he know? So near-death experience means the soul comes out of the body, right, and watches what's happening on the body and comes back. Why does he come back? Because its destiny is not yet that he's supposed to die. Now if the body is dead, then how can the soul come back? Right. It's like, you know, the car going downhill. The brakes are off, right, the engine is off and the car is going downhill. Suddenly if you turn it on, the car will start, no? So the soul leaving the body means the car is switched off. But suddenly when the soul comes in, the car starts functioning. The body starts functioning. So near-death experience is not some Gita thing. There is a big discussion among scientists and researchers about the concept of the Atma or the soul today. Right? And near-death experience is not some sadhu who is telling you, right, that this is a soul. This is Dr. Michael Sabom, a doctor, a professor at Emory School, who is telling us about the existence of a person, the soul. Now, in the year 1997, I used to go to Ruparel College to give lectures on the Bhagavad Gita. And the topic that was given to me for discussion one Monday evening was life after death, fact or fiction. As I was talking about this concept called life after death, fact or fiction, I quoted a doctor whose name was Dr. Ian Stevenson from West Virginia, America. And I quoted a doctor whose name was Dr. Mrs. Satwant Pashricha from the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences, Bangalore, who have started to study what is called as past life memory cases, or what is called as reincarnation cases. Right. Now, what is a typical past life memory case? What should I complete the story which I was telling at Ruparel? So, as I was talking, one boy raised his hand and said, "I am also a case study of reincarnation. My name is also there in Dr. Stevenson's book." I looked around and I found that there were no girls sitting around. You know, if there were girls, to say that something special to impress is okay. So since there were no girls anywhere around, I took him seriously. I asked him, "You are a case study of Dr. Stevenson, aren't you? Would you kindly tell us your story?" He told the whole audience his story. And the next day, he brought the book and showed me his name being registered in the book. He brought newspaper cuttings from the year 1984 and showed practically all leading newspapers of Mumbai reporting the case of this boy whose name was or is Deep Kapadia. He was a student of arts at Ruparel College, and I invited him to come here, and he has given several of this, every Bhagavad Gita course in 97 and 98 I did, I invited him here, and I didn't tell his story. He told his story, right? But I have been trying to reach out to him for the last about 8 months now, but somehow, yes, how? Huh? Is he still studying? You have his cell number. So afterwards, please do give me and we'll invite him here tomorrow. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Right. Right. So Deep Kapadia told me his story. So do you want to hear him straight, or should I tell you that story? Hear him straight. I should tell the story. Anyway, I'll tell the story and he can repeat it again. At least you can see him. Right. To be believe that there is something called as reincarnation that happens. Now, what is a typical reincarnation case? A typical reincarnation case is a child, a year old, 2 years old, as soon as a child starts speaking, the child starts identifying himself with someone else. The child starts saying, you ask him, ask the child what is your age, he'll say 45. 2 years old child will say, I'm 45 years old. Ask him what his name is, he'll say, my name is Mr. Mohanty. Right. Say some other name. And will start saying, I have a son in such and such place. I want to go there. Please take me there. And the child very often speaks a language which he's never taught. Right. You might find a two-year-old boy born in a Gujarati family starts to speak Malayalam of all languages. Right. You ask him some question and he'll reply in Malayalam, and the mother and father are wondering, what is this Gudgud Bhasha? I'm not understanding anything what he's saying. You know? Right? Start speaking all of these things. Refers to his previous professions. Refers to how he was killed sometimes, murdered, or sometimes just dead because of what disease or what difficulty or problem he was dead. He narrates all of these things. Sometimes, in past life memory cases, which Dr. Stevenson has researched, can you put ahead? Just go ahead, next one. Go on. This is Dr. Satwan Pashricha from National Institute of Medical Health and Neurosciences, studying past life cases or reincarnation studies. Next. This is Dr. Ian Stevenson, professor of psychiatry at West Virginia University. Right. Who is the pioneer in the field of past life memories. He was the one who started them. Right. And then there was more research done. And there are 2-3 others in India also who are there. But Dr. Satwan Pashricha is his student. She's based and sitting at Bangalore now. And two of our brahmacharis actually went and met her also. And we have had a talk and we have shared opinions about past life memories and reincarnation studies. According to Dr. Stevenson's research, sometimes a child, young child, when he was asked, how are you dead in your last life? You say you're someone else from your last life. How are you dead? He says, I was shot. Where were you shot? I was shot in the chest. Right. And surprisingly, there is a kind of mark on the chest of the child. Dr. Stevenson has gone and found out all possible details about this person in his past life, and even taken the post-mortem reports to find that this person who has some kind of a scar on his chest now, in his post-mortem report, it shows a hole on the same point of the chest. Right. Right? Let's get back to the story of Deep Kapadia. Deep Kapadia told me that when he was about 3.5 and he started speaking, he started telling his parents that I am from Udaipur. Please take me back to Udaipur. Right. I was a security guard there, in the museum there, and one of the members there, influential people in the town, murdered me. I want to go back. Please take me back. he was referred to Dr. Stevenson and Mrs. Pashricha.
Right.
They tried all Babas, Hakims, Jyotishis, everything, nothing worked. And you know, he was in a pathetic situation.
Right.
Crying, weeping, I want to go back, I want to meet my son, he murdered, this fellow murdered me, I want to go and see him, I want to do something against him.
Right.
Going through a great trauma in his life. You see? So, in any past life memory case, what do these doctors do? They just put the child on the train and take him to the place where he wants to go, where he claims he belonged to. But they do not tell him. So Dr. Stevenson and Mrs. Pasricha and the family of Deep and Deep boarded the train here in Mumbai, because Deep used to live in Borivali when he was studying at Ruparel. I don't know where he lives now.
Right.
They boarded the train, 3.5-year-old Deep. This is the first time he's going out of Mumbai. This fellow has never attended school. He does not know how to read and write. Correct? They are on the train. As soon as the train was reaching Udaipur, just a station before Udaipur, Deep started telling Dr. Stevenson and so, one more station to go, get ready.
Right.
And the next station, to the utter surprise of the research crew, was Udaipur. Now they had decided they wouldn't tell Deep. Deep, hurry up, come on, can't you read? Udaipur has come. This fellow doesn't know how to read and write. He's only 3.5 years old.
Right.
And he packs up, they all pick up the luggage and they get down at Udaipur station. Now when they get down at Udaipur station, Deep leads the whole team, crosses the overbridge, comes to the other side, and there is a tanga wala and says, Ramu, kaisa hai? Can you imagine, you know, a 3-year-old child is telling an old man, he thinks, who out of the blues are you, man? Right. He says, you don't remember the security guard? Bhoot hai ki kya hai? Wo to mar gaya, murder hua na uska. Anyways, Deep sits in that tanga with the crew and guides the tanga wala to a house.
Right.
Which was two-storied. And Deep and the whole team enters into the house. And as soon as they enter into the house, 3.5-year-old Deep goes and hugs a 32-year-old man and says, son, how are you? I have been missing you for so long. 3.5-year-old father and 32-year-old son.
Right.
Now the son realizes, dal mein kuch kala hai. Something is wrong somewhere. I guess they must have got some information about my father and stuff, and they are wanting my money, my father's estate. Kuch to hoga. He told his young child, if you can find out the rifle which my father would use in this house, I'll agree that you are my father. Because only two people knew where he would hide his rifle. Me and my father. Deep Kapadia very effortlessly, coolly, went to the second floor of the house, asked for the key of a cupboard, opened the cupboard, asked for the key of the safe, opened the safe. There was a picture in the safe. Behind the picture, he put his hand and pulled out the rifle. He said, here.
Right.
Now the son was convinced beyond doubt that this has to be my father. Not this. From my past life. Deep Kapadia took the whole crew to the museum where he was work as a security guard. And he went and he pressed the trigger of a certain painting, and the painting opened as a door. No one knew this in the whole museum. He took the team inside and he said, all of these are unique pieces, antique pieces. So rare that we don't display them in the museum.
Right.
Only I know how to enter in here. And there was a kerosene fan. Have you ever heard of a kerosene fan? From the British times. Now Deep Kapadia, who was 3.5-year-old, didn't know how to turn the button for an electric fan.
Right.
But he asked for kerosene, put the kerosene, filled it, and started the fan and showed how the fan works.
Right.
Now, no doubt, all what he said was matching perfectly with the life of this particular person who was the security guard in his past life. Correct? Now friends, think about it. When the person was dead, his body was either buried or cremated. burnt. And Deep Kapadia, that was in Udaipur. And Deep Kapadia was born where? Here in Borivali in Mumbai. Correct? Was there any physical connection? The body was burnt there and the new body was born here. Any physical connection? No. Is there any possibility of the brain substance of Mr. XYZ from Udaipur affecting the brain substance of our friend Deep Kapadia? No physical connection. If there is no physical connection, there must be some connection. Without a connection, how does he remember what this Mr. XYZ in Udaipur was doing? What is that connection?
The soul.
The soul from the body of Mr. XYZ had now come into the body of Deep Kapadia, and therefore he could remember his past life. Right? Now then the next question that comes to our mind is, if he remembered, why don't we? Is it not? How many of you would like to remember who you were in your past lives? Oh, so many. Right. So many of you would like to know who I was in my past life. We will have to refer to Mr. Deep Kapadia for that. Whatever he told me, I am sharing. So let's see if madam can give us his number and we can speak to him this evening only. Right. Pardon me? Nothing. Probably he was dead also. We'll get to know the exact details if we can actually get in touch with him. Right? So anyways, most of us would love to know who I was in my past life. Sorry to say that it is a very traumatic thing to remember what we were in our previous lives. One goes to such mental trauma and distress because of remembering what one was in his previous life. Let me give you a simple example. If this room were dark and all of you were sitting here in this room and here is a screen and on this screen we show each of you what has happened in your life from birth till now, and there have been so many traumatic experiences, I don't think most of you would walk out of the room with a Sibaka smile on your face. Right. Most of us would be distressed. Most of us would be depressed. How many of you sometimes remember some very bad situations of your life? Suddenly on a good day, sunny day, something. The mind just brings up something from the past. And it goes on in your mind, and the whole day you are disturbed, you are depressed, right? Just a little bit of bad thing from this life we remember, we are so disturbed. You can imagine if we know what we were in our past life and what all was done to us, how much disturbed would we be? Is it not? You know, only those people who are extremely sinful are the ones who remember their past lives. Congratulations, friends, because you are all very pious in your previous lives. Therefore, you do not remember what you are in your past life. It's a good qualification. Right? It's a good quality. Because of our piety, we don't remember. Dr. Sabom has studied 2000 case studies of reincarnation. I'm sorry, Dr. Stevenson has studied 2000 case studies of reincarnation, out of which 1300 he has personally researched. 400 has been done by Mrs. Pasricha and a few others by others. Right. You see? Now, I would like to ask you, for a moment, think of a teacher from school, college, whatever. Think of a teacher in your mind. Have you? Yeah. Now, a certain teacher each of you have thought of. Correct? Why did you think of that particular teacher only? Anyone like to share? Huh? You can relate to some incidents with that teacher, like she must have slapped you. I got one jhapad, so I remember her. Or the other way, she must have been very good to me, and therefore I remember. I remember my teacher from my KG class. You know, most teachers I have forgotten. I don't remember them by their face and names now. So many teachers we have had. But one teacher from my KG class, her name was Mrs. Raghavan. I can never forget her face and her in my life because I was very attached to her. Right? Now friends, when you walk on the streets, how many people do you see every day? Thousands. How many of them do you remember every day? None. Do you remember your wife? Men? Sometimes he said. And women, do you remember your husbands? Yes, you do. Right? And do you remember your fathers and your mothers? You do. There are thousands of people walking on the street and you see them and you don't remember them. And your husbands, your wives, your sons, your mothers, your fathers, you do remember. Why? Because you are attached to them. Right? The greater the degree of attachment, the greater the degree of remembrance. When the husband is very much attached to the wife, he is in office and thinking of what? His wife. And the father is very attached to the son. The father has gone abroad and constantly what is he thinking of? The son. The greater the degree of attachment, the greater the degree of remembrance. No attachment, no remembrance. Right. So all of us do not remember our past lives. What does it prove? We were not attached to our previous bodies as much as those who remember their previous lives. What does it prove? They were extremely attached to their previous lives. How attached? That even after they have changed their body, still the memories haunt them. You understand? So now do you have an answer to the question, why Deep Kapadia remembers who he was in his past life and I don't? Right. Because of the deep degree of attachment to the particular kind of body that he was in. Yeah, it can tell you what you were in your past life. Bhrigu Samhita. We'll come to that also later. Questions can we take later? So, now we have at least five proofs to prove that the soul does exist. Number one, common sense. He has passed away. Who has passed away? Number two, intuition. This is my body. Then who am I? Number three, consciousness. Thinking, feeling and willing. Which means the soul is present. Number four, near-death experience, Dr. Michael Sabom. Number five, past life memories or reincarnation cases, Dr. E.N. Stevenson and Dr. Mrs. Satwant Pasricha. Right? So now we are very clear about the fact that we are not this body, we are the eternal soul or Atma. Next. A few cases of past life memories, right? Can you see this girl here? The man whose lap she is sitting on is her husband, right? Can you see this picture here? That lady has been reborn as this girl, right? The soul of that lady has come into this body of this girl and this girl is talking to her mother-in-law, right? Talking in the language they understand and recalling all the events of her past life. Right? So husband and wife, but the wife is sitting on the lap, you know. Tiny little wife. Next. Nearly 25 years ago, man fully left was walking past the marketplace when 3-year-old Raghunath Ahmad reborn says, there goes my wife. Right? 25 years ago, this is man fully and he was only 3 years old at that time. And 3-year-old Ahmad said, this is my wife. Right? Reborn. Next. When Manju was 2, she claimed to be a reincarnation of Krishna. Not that reincarnation. Right. This her name was Krishna before. Right. And narrated how she had drowned in the village well. She spends time with her mother in her previous birth, left, and her mother in this life, right. Right. You see? These are all case studies thoroughly investigated and researched by Dr. Stevenson's and Dr. Satwant Pasricha. And for more information, if you type on the internet keyword in the keyword search, Ian Stevenson or Satwant Pasricha, you will get enough of information on this past life memories and reincarnation. Okay? Next.
No. No, mostly you don't. Mostly you don't. And there is never, at least there is no reported case yet.
Right. If you were a human, at least it's okay. You know, if I remember that I was a pig in my last life. My God, that's even more traumatic. You know, when I go... if I walk by the gutter, you know... what would I think? At least there's nothing reported as of now. Why could be a pig in my past life and be a human in this life? That's our...
Okay. No, that's what the question is now. Right. We are going to discuss that. And the fifth session is going to be a revealing session to most of you.
Right.
Next. Can we see the soul? As soon as we talk of God, the other day said, someone said, I don't believe in God because I don't see God. I don't believe in the soul because I don't see the soul. Show me the soul and I shall believe in the soul. Right?
So now, we would ask you a few questions. Can you go?
Yeah. Ask you a few questions and let's see what our conclusion is. Now here I have in my hands a rose flower. Now how many of you say that there is rose perfume in this? Liquid rose perfume you apply on your bodies. Is there oil or rose oil or rose perfume in this rose flower? How many of you say there is? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you say there is not? Obviously the others. Right. It's not. Okay. Some of you said that there is. Let's keep it on hold. Give me sesame seeds. What is this? Not powder. You can take a closer look. Is it till? Sesame seeds. Sesame seeds. How many of you say that there is oil in this? Everyone. Alright. Good. Fantastic. Can you give me wood here? What is this? This is a stick, wood. How many of you say that there is fire in this? Few. Few of you say, few of you don't. Okay, let's keep it on a hold. Give me milk. What is this? Milk, obviously. Right. How many of you say that there is ghee in this? Okay. All of you. Fantastic. What is this? Sugarcane. How many of you say that there is jaggery in this? Oh, good.
Right.
Now, here is a rose flower. There is rose oil, rose perfume in it. Can I see it? No. Here is sugarcane. There is jaggery in it. Can I see it? No. Here is sesame seeds. There is sesame oil in it, till oil in it. Can I see it? No. Here is wood. There is fire in it. Can I see it? No. Here is milk. There is ghee in it. Can I see it? No. How can I see these things? By a process. There is a process. There is rose perfume in this. I can't see it. But if it goes through a certain process of extraction of perfume, here I have. What was inside, couldn't be seen, is now seen to your eyes. I won't give, pass it on. If you want to, you can try it, but later you can try it. It's rose oil only. You know, rose oil is very expensive also. So something which was not seen to your eyes has now become seen. How? Through a process. Next. Sesame seeds. Can you see the oil? No. When it goes through the process of oil extraction, till rot. You know? This is exactly what was inside here. You couldn't see it with your eyes. Here it is in front of your eyes now. Right?
Good.
Here is sugarcane.
Can you see jaggery? How do you get jaggery, by the way? Take out the juice, coke it, molasses, and then jaggery. Is it not? Something which was not seen to my eyes is here in front of me now. Why? Because it went through a process. And look at this one, you know. All housewives will tell me what it is. Milk. Can you see the ghee? How do you get the ghee? Turn it into dahi, then turn it into makhan, then heat it on the fire, and then separate all the dirt out, and then you get ghee. It is here. It's in this. But you couldn't see it. But when it went through a process, here you can see it now. And here is, now give it to me. Here is wood. Can you see the fire? Not in this. In this. No. Right. Can you see the fire? Where did the fire come from? If there is no fire in the wood, where is the fire coming from now? I only supplied a little bit. Right? Which means there was fire in the wood. I just couldn't see it with my eyes. When it underwent a process of being lit up, the fire came out. Correct? Now you have all of these ingredients. Can you just turn on? Pushpe gandham tile tailam kashthe agnir payasi ghritam ikshau gudham yatha dehe paschati atmanam vivekatah. Vivekatah. Intelligent people. Paschati atmanam. They see the soul. How? They see the soul like they see the rose perfume in the rose flower. They see the soul like they see the sesame oil in the sesame seeds. They see the soul like fire in a wood, or like ghee in a milk bottle, or like jaggery in sugarcane. Right? Pushpe gandham, flower and perfume. Tile tailam, til and oil. Kashthe agnim, wood and fire. Right. Payasi ghritam, milk and ghee. Ikshau gudham, sugarcane and jaggery. Each of these items have it within it, but only when it goes through a process can you be able to see the thing which was inside. Just like all of these things are existing within these items, the soul is also existing within the body. I'm not able to see the soul now, but if I go through a certain process, I will be able to see the soul. Next. There is a process to realize the soul. I was at Institute of Science. All of you have heard of this college called Institute of Science. It's a very reputed college. Yeah, just near Churchgate, somewhere close. What is that? Cooperage. Okay, I don't know what place is that. I'm not from Bombay, by the way. Right. So, I went there. I was invited there for a talk. And there were about 200 students sitting in the classroom. And as I was talking about the soul, one student raised this objection, saying, if you show me the soul, I'll do whatever you like. I can even shave up. Come with you right now. I said, mind you, right, you are making a big claim. Don't repent after the lecture is over. I'll really take you with me. Right. And everyone in the room was really waiting. It was a challenging question. Can you show me the soul with the microscope, he asked me. I have a microscope. I'll get a microscope from here. Can you put someone under that and show me the soul with the microscope? I asked him a few questions back, which I will ask you also. Now, what is length a parameter of? In which subject do you measure length? Physics. And if you want to test the alkalinity or acidity of a solution, which subject is it? Chemistry. That's good. And if you want to see a slide of hydra, fungus, algae, biology. That's great. Right. Now, if you want to measure the length of an object, what instrument do you use? a caliper or a foot rule, a scale. Yeah? You want to test the acidity or the alkalinity of a solution, what instrument do you use? What do you use? A pH meter or the basic thing that all of us learnt in school is a litmus paper. Right? And you want to see hydra, fungus, algae, microscope. Isn't it? Good. I go to the biology laboratory and they ask me to study the slide of hydra. I use a litmus paper. I can try to see this slide throughout my life. Will I be able to see it? No, that's good. Right. And then, I'm asked to measure the length of an object. What do? I use a microscope, you know. I want to find the length of this microphone. What do I use? Microphone. So, microscope. Right? Do I use a microscope? No. And I want to test the acidity or the alkalinity of a solution. So, I take a foot rule and start dipping. I can do it for 100 lifetimes. Will I be able to find out whether the solution is acidic or basic? No, friends, I won't. Could you tell me what I'm trying to hint at? Yes, different subjects. Different subjects have different tools, which cannot be interchangeably used. If I want to get the result of physics, I have to use tools of physics. If I want to get the results of biology, I have to use the tools of biology. And all these three sciences deal with what? Matter. Therefore, they are called as material sciences. Even within material sciences, you cannot change the tools. I said, my dear friend, the soul, what I'm talking of, is also science. But this is not a science that deals with matter, it is a science that deals with spirit. Therefore, what you're studying is material science and what I'm teaching and studying is spiritual science. If your material science requires a set of tools, then my spiritual science also requires a set of tools. And just like you cannot interchange tools to get the result of a subject, you are telling me, show me the soul with my microscope. Microscope is a material tool. And soul is a spiritual object. Right. How can you interchange tools to get the particular result? You can't do it even within material sciences. What to speak of between material and spiritual sciences? I told him, come here. He came and stood. This is a real story. Huh? He came and stood right next to me. I handed him over my Japamala. I said, this is my tool. Right. Meditation on the name of God on this mala is my tool. Here is my tool. And here is a slide of Hydra. Chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the mala and show me Hydra first. Use my tool to see your object, Hydra. Then I'll use your tool, microscope, and show you my object, the soul. Is it going to be possible? Can you take a Japamala? It would be very nice. You know, students don't have to study only then. Go to your college and take mala. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And Hydra, fungus, algae, acidic, basic, length, everything will come, no? Can you use this tool for that result? No. Then how can you use a tool of material sciences to see the object of a spiritual science? Right? What? So here we have a vernier caliper to measure length, and a litmus paper, and a microscope. We can't use these tools. The tools to realize and see the soul are spiritual, which include study of scriptures, which include following the processes given in scriptures. As soon as you follow a process, that which was unseen became seen. Similarly, when you follow a spiritual process which is given in the scriptures, that which is unseen becomes seen. Right? Next. Now, do you know that the soul resides within the body? Correct? Srila Prabhupada used to give a very fantastic example. If you have a first class Rolls Royce car, 2 headlights, 4 wheels, a steering wheel, a honking horn, a engine, a petrol tank, everything is up to date and first class. Do you see the car moving? Do you see the car moving? When does the car move? Have you ever seen a car moving without a driver? Have you? I have. When I was in college, I went to a movie called Mr. India, you know. Only in this movie called Mr. India, we saw that there was a car moving without a driver. Only when you would put red glasses on, you would see Anil Kapoor driving the car. Otherwise, you wouldn't. Right? So, only in a hypothetical, fantastic, whimsical kind of movie like that, you will find that the car moves without a driver, not in practical experience. A car, in order to move, needs a driver. And what is his body? A car. The car has got 2 headlights, our 2 headlights are on. Right? The eyes. The car has a horn and we have a horn. Unfortunately, this horn never stops honking. From the beginning of the day till the end of the day, paw, 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 something is going on. Right? The car has got 4 wheels and I have got 2 hands and 2 legs. The car has got a petrol tank and I also have a petrol tank and everyone is thinking, petrol bharna hai, late ho raha hai, band karo jaldi. Right? Is it not? The car has got an engine. This car has also got an engine. See on your left hand side of the body, you know, the engine is working. Is it? Exactly like a car. But the car does not function till the driver sits in. So how will this body function until the driver sits in? So the soul is exactly like a driver in a car. But if the driver gets down from the Rolls Royce, he can come in and start driving again. Once the driver gets out of this car, then he has to take another model. Not Rolls Royce again, you know. This model is gone. Which model? That is a discussion on the 5th day.
Right.
Which model out of the millions of models of cars? Cat, dog, right. Insect, worm, pig, human. Which of the car models will the driver get? Is another question. Did you know how much did your body cost? No. I'll tell you later.
Right.
Just imagine now. I'm going to ask you a few questions again. Just imagine this. Your friend is riding a BSA SLR and he meets with an accident. The BSA SLR is broken down and your friend is also broken down. Whom will you take to the hospital first? The friend or the cycle? Are you sure? Okay. How much is a BSA SLR today? 2000? Write down. BSA SLR 2000. Okay. Now your friend is riding I don't know what is the current bike, but let's say he's riding a Hero Honda. What is the new one? Pulsar. He's riding a Pulsar. Right. And he meets with an accident. Whom will you take to the hospital first? The motorbike or the friend? Sure? Okay. And how much is the Pulsar? 50? 50,000. Right on. Pulsar? 50,000.
Right. Your friend is driving a Mercedes Benz.
Right. And he meets with an accident. Whom will you take to the hospital first? The friend or the car? Friend? Benz? You'll take the friend first, huh? Okay. And how much is a Mercedes Benz? 35 lakhs. The luxury version is 65 lakhs. Right. He's driving a luxury version, by the way. 65 lakhs. And then, your friend is traveling by a train. And there is a train accident. Right. Hundreds of people are injured. And the rescue crew comes. And rescues what? The aluminium and the tin first? What? Friends, the bodies. Right? And what is the cost of a train? Crores. There is an air crash. Right? And in an air crash, people break their hands and legs. And the rescue crew comes and says, Arey baap, Jet Airways ki udaan thi. Itna sara kharab ho gaya. चलो पहले ये सब जो है वो ले जाते हैं, थोड़ा ठीक कराते हैं, पहिया खराब हो गया है. Whom they rescue first? People, right?
I am sorry to say, friends, I am very sorry to say, there are no Marwadis in this group. Are there a few Marwadis here? Any Marwadis? One. Anyone else? अरे आप भी मारवाड़ी नहीं है. Because if someone is Marwadi, he knows dhanda, you know, he knows business. All the answers that you gave were absolutely against the norms of business. If you even had a little sense of business, no, you would have said, I will not take my friend to the hospital first. Now scientists have analyzed all the elements of our body, and you know how much the body costs? 110 rupees. If you see all what is in the body and the particular proportion and weights and put it all down together, chemicals and everything put together, if you go to a chemist shop, जो जो कुछ अंदर है ना 110 रुपए में वो सब खरीद सकते हैं. So the body is worth rupees 110. Let's take it 100 for simplicity of calculation. So 2000 and 100. कितना लॉस है? 1900. चलेगा दोस्त के खातिर 1900. Right. Not a big loss. 1900 चलेगा. Pulsar is 50,000 minus 100. 49,900. Come on. You will let your 49,900 go away? अरे 100 रुपए का तो है मेरा दोस्त. 100 रुपए के दोस्त के लिए 39,000 छोड़ दो. Now look at the next one, you know. 65 lakhs. What would be the loss? 64 lakhs. 99,900. Would you let it go? Even if you know this, still you will take your friend to the hospital first. Why? Because the driver, the soul, is still inside. If that friend dies, no? बोलेगा इसको बाद में देख लेगा, पहले मर्सिडीज बेंस को भी देख लेते हैं. Right? If that friend leaves his body, will say, ठीक है अभी तो मर गया ना, I'll also take care of the car. But if he's still alive, then you will take him to the hospital. So what makes this body valuable? The presence of the soul. If the soul leaves this body, and even if the soul is there in the body itself is only 110 rupees. Go on. So the body is like a car and the soul is like a driver in the car. As long as the driver is seated, look how your cars are moving. I can see all the cars moving now. Go to a mortuary. All the cars are stationary because the driver has got down, right? You know, the soul is compared to a cat. Just like a cat resides within a house and is drinking milk, thinking no one is watching me, there is a person coming with a stick in his hands to drive the cat away. Similarly, the soul within this body is trying to enjoy things of this world, like the cat. Doesn't know that time is coming with the stick of death in hand. And just like the man comes and hits the cat and drives the cat out of the house, time comes with the stick of death and drives the soul out of the body. The body is like a cage and the soul is like the bird in the cage. How much care are we taking of the cage, polishing the cage so wonderfully, but what about the bird? The cage was meant for the bird or the bird was meant for the cage? The cage was meant for the bird, but we have forgotten to take care of the bird, the soul. And we are busy taking care of the cage, the body. Next. What is the composition of our body? How many bodies do we have? One, two, three, four, five, six, eight, 100, 200, 1000, a lakh. How many bodies do we have? One. Sorry to say that we have three bodies. We have three bodies. One is called sthula sharir or the gross body. Second is called sukshma sharir or the subtle body. And third is the soul, which is a body in itself called the spiritual body.
So we have a spiritual body, a subtle body, and a gross body. What is the gross body? The body which we see now, made up of five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. What is a subtle body? That which we cannot see. Sukshma. What is it made up of? Three elements: mind, intelligence, and false ego. Man, buddhi, ahankar. And within that is the third body, the soul, who has a spiritual body. Now, how many of you have seen a three-piece suit? I guess most of you.
Right.
In a three-piece suit, you have an overcoat.
Right.
Within the overcoat is a shirt. And within the shirt is the person. So, the soul is compared to the person. The shirt is compared to the subtle body. And the coat is compared to the gross body.
Go on.
So, we have the coat. Can all of you see each other's coats now? Look. Look at this coat. Made out of?
Go on.
Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Inside the coat is the shirt. Can you see the shirt now? How many of you are able to see my shirt?
No. Where is the shirt? I'm talking about my inner body.
What is the subtle body compared to? Shirt. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. How many of us can see this in each other?
None of us.
And finally, there is the actual person who wears the shirt and then the overcoat. Go on. That is compared to the soul.
Right?
Both of this together is matter. Matter is formless. It does not have form. What gives form to matter? The soul gives form to matter. This cloth is formless. This cloth gets a form because the fist has a form. As soon as I remove the fist, again this cloth becomes formless. All of this matter, the body which we are made of, is like this cloth. Doesn't have a form of its own. As soon as the soul enters, look at now. Look at all of us. We have a form now. As soon as the soul leaves, it will once again disintegrate and become formless. So matter is formless. What gives form? The soul. Next. Let us now try to discuss a few characteristics of the soul. First, the soul is indestructible. Lord Krishna explains in the Gita, Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka, na chainam kledayantyapo, na shoshayati maruta. Nainam chindanti shastrani. No shastra, no weapon can kill the soul. What is killed by an AK-47? The body, not the soul. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka. The soul cannot be burnt by fire. What is burnt by fire? The body. Na chainam kledayantyapo. Someone drowns in the river and commits suicide. What dies? The body, not the soul. Na shoshayati maruta. Maruta means air. Sometimes people, you know, they choke up. Choke others up. No air. So what dies because of lack of air? The body, not the soul. Right? You take a weapon. Whom can you kill? Body. Nainam chindanti shastrani. No shastra can kill the soul. Next. No fire can burn the soul. And no water can destroy the soul. The soul is indestructible. Because the soul is indestructible, the soul can live anywhere. That is the reason that there is life on all planets. There is life also on the sun planet. Therefore, there is Vivaswan living there. Why? Because the soul cannot be destroyed by fire. It's only a question of getting a body which is adaptable to that environment. One of my friends was working for RCF, Rashtriya Chemicals and Fertilizers. And he was working in a good post. You know what he would do? He would supervise the whole happenings in the company. And once in a year, they would clean a particular tank which had highly poisonous and toxic chemicals. they would clean it absolutely from the bottom, once in a year. But when they would bring out all the contents within, the whole company would have a holiday because it was highly poisonous. Only this fellow and a few others would be there with all protective devices for the cleaning. This friend of mine was telling that when he cleansed the tank completely one day, right at the bottom of the tank, he found some worms living in poison. And when they were brought out of poison, they were dead.
Right. Which means there can be life in poison also.
They just have the right kind of body. The soul cannot be destroyed by anything. What is dead is the body only. Next. The soul is an individual.
Think what I was thinking of. Guess what I thought now. Can you? Can you guess what I thought? Can I guess what you thought in your mind now? No. Why?
Although each of us are souls, we are individual souls. If the same soul were there in everyone's body, then what I am thinking, you should also be able to think. Which means, the very fact that we can't know what each of us are thinking, that means each of us are separate, individual souls. It's not that every hole in the body is the same. If it is the same, then we should be able to think of what others are thinking. Even two identical looking twins, right, cannot guess what the other person is thinking. The bodies may be looking exactly the same, but the souls are different individuals. Right? Next. Now, I really wanted to do a small little game with all of you. Right? For 2 minutes, we'll do it. I want a real hefty fellow, right, who is a little strong. Right? We are going to have arm wrestling here. Who wants to try? Volunteer. No problem. Arm wrestling. Whoever wants to volunteer is okay with me. Two boys. No one wants to volunteer, so then I'll call. Okay? Anyone wants? You can come. No, are you already? You come. You are anyways a little tagada, no? Come. Come. You can try also. Come. No problem. Both are a little good in size. But we want some place where they can do it, you know. You have a table or something? No. Sofa. Okay, they'll do it on the sofa. Now, how much money you have in your wallet? Something, no? Give it. Take it out. Come on. Take it out. 50. So, you should also give 50, you know. Okay, we'll return 50 back. So, now they are waging 50 for 50. 50 rupees from his side, 50 rupees for him side. His side.
Right.
And we'll have a minute's time. Whoever wins gets 100. Let's try. Come on. Sit on your knees. Come on, sit. Yeah. I'm sorry you can't see it because we don't have a table. Start quick. The time starts now. You have to put your hand on the sofa here. Arm wrestling. Come on, try. Come, chalo. Yeah, they can do it on the table also. But anyways, we'll do it here now because we don't have much time. Arre, 50 rupees ka sawal hai. Come on. You'll lose your 50 rupees. Come on, try harder. Jor laga ke. You can cheer them if you like. I don't mind. Come on. Amar. Come on. You have to do it fast. Quick. Your time is running out. Quick. You're just there. Come on. Fast. Oh, they are both really strong. Huh? I thought they just look strong. They're really strong. Come on. Little bit. Just a little bit. Finish it. You can. Come on. Just last. Little. There you are. My God. This fellow is really strong. Huh? What's your name? I don't know. I will ask you afterwards. You're busy now. Really. He found a tough match. Really. Right. 50 rupees ka sawal hai. Come on. Quick. No? Anyways, whatever. Let's forget it because I'll give them a big hand, you know. I'll keep it. Since none of you won, I'll keep it. Right. Don't worry, I'll return back. Right. Win-win solution, it's called. Win-win. Win-win. Now, when you have an arm wrestling match, what happens generally? One loses, one wins. Now, can you draw a point and a line from the point with an arrow and write victory? Now, draw another line to the other side, 180 degrees. No, no, from the point. That's 180 degrees, right? And line, an arrow, and say X. X. Now, on one side I have victory, I don't know what's the opposite of victory, so I say it's X or anti-victory. Do I know what are the characteristics of victory? What happens when I'm victorious? Happy. Victory? No, victory, under victory, happy. Correct? So, what do I write for X then? Sad. Obviously, it's opposites, no? Then, what else happens when I'm victorious? Huh? Joy, that's happiness. I gain more money, gain, right? And what happens to X then? I lose. And you could have a list of them like that. But once I know one, can I find out the qualities of the other? If it's opposite? Right. And that X is what we call as defeat. Correct? Now, put on one side, rub it all, put on one side matter. Right. Again, draw a point, a line, right. A point, and on this side write matter. And draw a line on the other side, and that is what we call as antimatter or X, whatever you want to call. Now, could you suggest a few qualities of matter? It's unconscious. Matter is unconscious. It doesn't have consciousness of itself, right there. Unconscious. Anything else? Shape, form. It has a shape or form. Mass. What? Movable. Its characteristics. What? It's what? What are its characteristics? I'm not talking about the physics definition of matter. I'm talking of the definition of matter from the realistic point of view. One is it is unconscious. Second is it is? Huh? Occupying space, that also is physics. Immovable, huh? It is destructible. It is destructible. Anything that is made of matter is destroyed at a point of time or the other. What else? Because it is destructible, it causes misery. I had a nice car made of matter and it's destroyed. What happens to me? I'm very happy and ecstatic, is it not? No, miserable. Right? So now, if I have these qualities of matter, what will be the opposite of these? If matter is unconscious, then antimatter must be conscious by itself. And if matter is destructible, then antimatter should be indestructible. If matter causes misery, then antimatter should cause bliss or joy. Go on with the slide. Go on. Matter, antimatter. Matter is temporary. Antimatter is eternal. Matter is unconscious. Antimatter is conscious. Matter is the source of misery. Antimatter is the source of bliss. Hey, wait, wait. Why are you going ahead? I didn't tell you to go ahead. Wait. Right. Now, in Sanskrit, that which doesn't have a beginning and an end is called eternal or sat. That which is conscious, someone said use the word chetana yesterday for consciousness. Chetana comes from the word chit. Chit, chetana. Sat means no beginning, no end. That's called as sat. Eternal. That which is conscious is called chit. And that which gives bliss is called ananda. Did you come to a very well-known word, friends? Sat, chit and
Sachidananda.
Correct?
Sachidananda. That's antimatter. And then you have matter, which is, has a beginning, has an end. Therefore, it is temporary or destructible. It is called asat.
It is unconscious, so it's called achit.
It is full of misery, therefore it's called nirananda.
Body is asat, achit, nirananda. Are you sure body is asat?
Yeah,
it has a beginning, it has an end. Are you sure that the body is unconscious?
Yeah,
because if the soul is not there, where is consciousness? And are you sure that the body is full of misery? That we have good experience of. Nirananda. Asat, Achit and Nirananda. As against that, antimatter is Sat, Chit and Ananda. There are three things about antimatter. Number one, the soul. Number two, God. And number three, a world where the soul and God lived together.
Right.
So what is this antimatter called? Spirit. Like anti-victory is called defeat, antimatter is called as spirit. So what is the soul made of?
Spirit.
What is God made of?
Spirit.
And what is the world where the soul and God live made of?
Spirit.
What is the body made of?
Matter.
And what is the world in which we are living now made up of?
Matter.
So if there is a world made of matter, material world, then there must be a world made of spirit, spiritual world. If there is a body which is made of matter, then there must be also something which is made of antimatter, spirit, which is residing within the body. Right? So what is the quality of the soul? Sat, Chit and how many of you want to die?
No one.
Where does it come from? Because the soul is immortal and eternal, you don't want to die. That's your quality. There was once, you know, a man, he gave an ad in the newspaper. I have a swimming pool filled with snakes. Any person who swims across this pool can choose from these three prizes. Number one, he can choose 1,000 gold coins. If he doesn't want that, he can choose half of my estate. If he doesn't want that, he can choose my daughter's hand in marriage. But he has to cross this swimming pool which is filled with venomous snakes. For months together, no one came. Who will come? Who will come to swim in a pool filled with venomous snakes? Finally, one man came. He jumped in. He swam across. Unfortunately, nothing happened, you know. And when he came out, the man came. Great man, you are a genius. How did you do that? What do you want? You want 1,000 gold coins? He said, no. You want half of my estate? He said, no. You want my daughter's hand in marriage? He said, no. Hey, what do you want then? Just tell me the name of the person who pushed me in. Correct? Would anyone want to jump in? Would anyone want to die? Why? Because we are eternal. Go on, next slide. The soul is Sat Chit and Ananda. No one wants to die because the soul is Sat. Chit means conscious. Chit also means knowledge. Everyone wants to be knowledgeable. Idhar kya ho raha hai, udhar kya ho raha hai, about this subject, about that subject, we want knowledge. A man, an inspector came to school, and in the school, the inspector asked the child, who kidnapped Sita? He said, I do not know. The inspector came and chastised the teacher. Your child, your student does not even know who kidnapped Sita? The teacher said, I did not, you know. So now he realized, what level is this person? So the inspector went to the principal and said, the child says he does not know who kidnapped Sita, and the teacher says he did not kidnap Sita. What kind of people you have here? The principal said, whoever kidnapped Sita, we will pay for her. Don't worry. Right. The tendency of each of us is to have knowledge.
Right.
Why? Because that is our nature. Chit. Chit means conscious or knowledge. The very fact that we are looking to know something, the very fact that we do not want to die proves that we are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and everyone wants to be blissful and happy. That proves that our nature is
ananda.
Why do you want to be happy? Because that is your nature, the soul's nature. Why do you want to be eternal? Because that is your nature, the soul's nature. Why do you want to be knowledgeable? Because that is your nature, the soul's nature. The soul is sat chit ananda. Next. It resides within the region of the heart. Go on. You see? Where does the soul reside? The soul resides within the region of the heart, and therefore, even scientists agree that what is the organ of the body from where blood flows to all the different parts of the body? The heart. The soul resides within the heart, and from the heart, the blood is pumped to the different parts. The blood carries consciousness to different parts of the body. As I said, soul, what is sunshine to sun? Consciousness is to the soul. So the soul spreads consciousness throughout the body from the heart. Now many people say, come on, how can you say like that? Clinically speaking, heart band ho gaya, aadmi off ho gaya. What does it have to do with the soul? The heart stopped functioning, therefore the person was dead. You are saying the soul left the body, therefore the person is dead. Right? I would like to show you a small little thing. Where is that toy? Oh yeah. Pretty, huh? Cute little thing. Who knows how to operate? Can someone call Prem Kishore? I don't know how to operate this. You know it? Okay, please. Help me out. You know, I don't play with toys any longer. Or I don't have people who... No. It doesn't mean that he plays with toys, but at least he has grandchildren and children who play with toys, you know. So he knows how to play with those toys. Oh, it started, you know. Now, let's come back. What was that? A doll. An electronic doll. What if we had a baby crawling here? Right. Now, I would like you to tell me, what are the components of this little doll or the little toy here? Can you write down, Nripen Prabhu? What are the components of this doll? Yeah? It has a battery. It has shape of a body. It has a rubber body. It has a engine, a machine. Some machine, some electronic machine working inside. This doll is only made of these three components. It has a rubber body, inside which there is a machine, which functions because of the battery. Right? Now guess what? You have the rubber body. You have the machine also, and you don't have the battery. Will the doll work? No. If you have the battery and not the machine, will the doll work? No. In order for this doll to work, it requires all three. A rubber body, a machine, and a battery. Now, the doll has stopped working. Why did it stop working? The machine stopped working. And why did the machine stop working? Because the battery stopped giving its power or energy. Here is a rubber body and here is a body made of matter. Here is a machine inside and here is a machine, the heart. And there is a battery inside and there is the soul. Why did the person die? Because the heart stopped functioning. Friends, why did the heart stop functioning all of a sudden? This question nobody ever thought of. Right? The body stopped functioning because the machine stopped functioning. And why did the machine stop functioning? Because the battery stopped giving its power. Right. So we do not deny that the person is dead because the heart stopped functioning. Definitely, we agree. A person is dead because the heart doesn't function any longer. But why does the heart not function? Till now it was functioning. All of a sudden, what happened? The soul has left the body. The battery is no longer there. The machine doesn't work. The machine doesn't work. The body doesn't work. So the soul resides within the region of the heart. Next. The soul continuously changes body. Right? How many changes does the body goes through? What are the different changes that our body goes through? Age. What are the different ages? Right. Childhood. Youth. Billions of changes. What else? Old age. What else? Death. Fantastic. Childhood, youth, old age and death. It is explained that the body goes through 9 stages. It says, Nishekha garbha janmani balya kaumara yauvanam vayo madhyo jara mrityur iti avasthas tanor nava tanu. Body goes through nava avastha. 9 stages. First, Nishekha. Nishekha means conception. Conception also. The first stage when the body is conceived is Nishekha. Second is in the womb of the mother. It's called gestation, growth. The body is slowly growing. Okay? Third stage is Janmani or birth. Fourth stage is what madam said, Balya or childhood. Fifth stage is Kaumarya or teenage. Right. Then there is Yauvanam or youth. Then there is Vayo Madhya, adulthood. Then there is Jara, old age. And finally, Mrityu or death. These are the changes that the body goes through. 9 changes, right? The Bhagavad Gita explains that the soul goes through all of these changes, but are we still the same person? Go through your album and you say, can you see my photo? See all of your photos from childhood, youth, adulthood, old age. Is it the same body? The body has changed. It's not that the body changes only at death. The body is constantly changing. And therefore, we see that there are different phases of our body. Previously, my body was this much, now it's this much, now it's this much, then it's wrinkled. The body is changing, but do I change? No. The soul goes through all these changing bodies, but the soul still remains the same person. Therefore, sometimes you see in movies or in real life stories also, you know, that the child has gone abroad and after 20 years the child comes and the child has a moustache and a beard and all of that now. The mother says, hey, tu mera beta nahi hai. Does she say like that? The body has changed, but the person still remains the same. The Bhagavad Gita explains, this body is like a set of clothes to us. Right? Just like when you have a t-shirt. If your t-shirt is torn, what do? You get a new one, change it. Similarly, when this body, which is like a pair of trousers and shirts, gets worn and torn out, then the soul gives up this set of clothes and takes up a new set of clothes. What are the different brands of shirts available in the market today? Peter England, Louis Phillips, Arrow, Benzer, John Players, Mark Spencer, Zodiac, Provogue, Alan Solly. Yeah. Anyway, so many shirts. What are the shirts available for the soul to take? Your t-shirt gets torn and you go and buy an Alan Solly or a Peter England or a Louis Phillips or an Arrow. When the soul gives up its shirt, what is the new shirts? What are the different varieties available? How many varieties available? 84 lakh t-shirts available. 84 lakh t-shirts to choose from once you give up this set of clothes. Right? Which one will we get after death is the question which we'll be answering on the fifth day. Right? But the fact of the matter is that the body keeps on changing. But we never thought that we changed, is it not? You go to your village after some time and the people will tell you, Bahut badal gaya hai re tu. Itna badal gaya. अरे एक साल पहले देखा था, अभी इतना बदल गया। यू से क्या बदल गया, मैं तो आईने में देखता हूं, मेरे को तो कुछ डिफरेंस नहीं दिख रहा है। यू आर नॉट एबल टू टेक नोट दैट देयर इज अ डिफरेंस, बट एनीवन एल्स ऑब्जर्व्स, ही सीज दैट देयर इज अ चेंज इन योर बॉडी, राइट? सो ऑल्सो द एग्जाम्पल इज गिवन, जस्ट लाइक इफ यू हैव अ रील ऑफ फिल्म, एंड व्हेन देयर इज अ रील ऑफ फिल्म व्हिच इज प्रोजेक्टेड ऑन द स्क्रीन फॉर मूवमेंट, यू विल फाइंड that if the person is supposed to lift his hand like that, you will find in one film is like that, another film like this, another film little more. If you see it all differently, you will hardly find any change. But when you project on the screen, the hand comes up, you see. So in when it is projected, you won't make out that there is a change. It seems like a continuous thing, but you see the different reels, you will note the change. Similarly, our life seems to be like a continuous projection, and therefore we don't feel we are changing. But you see sections of your life, then you will find that the body has been changing, but the soul still remains the same. Therefore, do you know what an epitaph is? An epitaph, when Christians, you know, they die and they are buried, then there is a kind of a stone and they write something on that. It's called an epitaph, tombstone. Yeah, on a particular epitaph there was a statement written. You know what was written there? Remember me as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you shall be. Be prepared to follow me. Is it not? That is the last change in our life. What is the last change? Death. But the body continuously changes from childhood to youth to old age, and then dies, and the soul then takes up another body. Which? How? Life after death, day 5. Right? Next. You know what is the size of the soul? Balagra shatabhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. Take a hair, take the tip of the hair, divide it into 10,000 parts. One part of that is the size of the whole soul. 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. One of our devotees, Mr. Narendra Desai, his name is Srinathji Prabhu, he runs a university also. In that university, he actually commissioned an electron microscope and said, is it possible to see 10,000th part of the tip of a hair? All research scientists said, impossible. So can you see the soul even if you have a microscope now? Now the soul is not even 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, it's even smaller than that. But to give you an idea of how small a figure is given, to give you an idea that you can't easily see it, just a small figure is given. Have you heard of a narwhal? This whale is 36 feet long. 36 feet. And the heart of this narwhal is as big as a car. You see? But what is the soul size? 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. Go on. So you'll find in the ant's body also the same size soul, and in the elephant's body also the same size soul which moves it. We have one of our brahmacharis here in the temple. Right. Very hefty fellow. Very hefty, you know. I have seen him pick 2 to 3 cylinders at a time. Like this, you know, and filled cylinders in his hand. And I've also seen him, there are 2 boys hanging to him, 2 boys on his back, and he's revolving 4 or 5 people at a time. So long as the soul is in the body, 4 people you can hang on to and you will move. But soul leaves the body, 4 people are needed to carry that body to the crematorium. You see? That tiny soul is what makes the body powerful. Right? Next. The soul is inconceivable by material senses, as I said in the beginning. Why? It is spiritual in nature. And therefore to conceive the soul by material tools and material senses is not possible. For the soul is inconceivable. Next. Finally, let us see the difference between the soul, super soul. You have a man, you have a superman. So we have the soul and the super soul. Go on. Soul is called jivatma. That's all of us. Humans, animals, all have a soul. And super soul is called paramatma, God. Next. Soul is infinitesimal, 1/10,000th tip of a hair. God is infinite, Anu and Vibhu. We are cognizant only of our own body. अपने शरीर में क्या चल रहा है उतना ही मालूम है, दूसरों के शरीर में नहीं. God is cognizant of all bodies because He is there as Paramatma in everyone's heart. We are always a living, loving servant. God is eternally our loving master. Go on. We are one in quality with God but different in quantity. Our salvation depends on the acceptance of this reality. I'll end with a small example.
Right.
Now, if you have, we have ocean right here at Chopati, right? Take a drop of that ocean water. How does it taste? Salty. The same qualities of the ocean are there in the drop of the ocean water. But if you start saying this is the ocean, then it is foolish. So the drop of the ocean water is the same in quality as the ocean, but it is different in quantity. So we, the soul, are same in quality as God. God is Satchidananda. We are also Satchidananda. But we are different in quantity from God. We are infinitesimal. And God is infinite. So we are one with God and different from God. How are we one? In quality. How are we different? In quantity. Last line. Are we gods? No. We are not gods. We are God apostrophe S. We are gods. Right. And we can never ever become God at any point of time. We will always remain infinitesimal. And God will always remain infinite. Should we have a short recap in 2 minutes? First, we discussed today the proof for the existence of the soul. What were the 5 proofs? Common sense, intuitive understanding, consciousness, near-death experience, and past life memories. After that, we discussed, yes, so much was discussed, we don't remember what we discussed. After that, yeah, can we see the soul? There is a process to see the soul. The unseen can be seen if we go through a certain process. Then we saw that the soul is like the driver in the car, or like the cat in the house, or like the bird in the cage. How many bodies do we have? 3. Gross body, subtle body, and spiritual body. What are the characteristics of the soul? Number 1, indestructible, cannot be destroyed. Number 2, individual, we are different souls. Number 3, Satchit, Ananda, eternal, conscious, and full of bliss. Number 4, we discussed, the soul is situated in the region of the heart. Number 5, the soul's size is infinitesimally small, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. And 6th, the soul is inconceivable. Right? We are one in quality with God, but different in quantity. Like a drop of ocean water is one in quality with the ocean, but different in quantity. We are not gods, we are God, apostrophe S. We belong to God. We can never ever become God. So now we know Krishna is God. We know we are soul. Right. Day 5, we shall see, was there a time when Krishna and we were together? If we were together, what the hell are we doing here? Why have we come here? And day 5 will be the answer to the question, दुनिया बनाने वाले क्या तेरे दिल में समाई काहे को ये दुनिया बनाए. सो मेक श्योर दैट इज द 19th संडे इवनिंग 7 sharp वी विल मीट अगेन. थैंक यू वेरी मच. हरे कृष्ण. फॉर क्वेश्चंस आई एम सिटिंग हियर, यू कुड ऑल कम एंड डिस्कस विद मी.